Now.
Hey, I can
get a good view of the parking lot.
Sound test or sound check, as they say.
I smell something burning.
Because it's a candle burning. Something bigger.
Okay, just remember, everything you say and do is being recorded.
I love you.
Just go ahead and sit back, because remember, when we get started here in a few minutes, that a lot of people will be watching, and if you're distracting, they're not going to be able to pay attention to what we're trying to be teaching them, right?
Dad?
It's recording.
What's the screen thing supposed to do?
I don't know.
It's supposed to tell how much battery I have left.
No.
Maybe how much straight it is.
Think so?
Okay.
Yeah.
We're on? Okay. Well, it's a little bit early yet, so we will wait for the rest of our church family to join us. But good evening to all of our WCC church family who are able to be on this evening, and those who will be watching later if you're not able to get on. And really to anybody who's going to be going to Sermon Audio and watching this recording, I want to give you a greeting from the Richardson household. I'm the associate pastor. My name is Nathan Richardson, and we are here representing WCC, inviting you into our home to be able to hang out with us as we do a brief devotional challenge from God's Word. So we don't take for granted that you're here, taking time out of your busy schedule, doing whatever that you're doing. You could be watching anything at this particular time, but you're choosing to be here with us, and we are very, very grateful for that. So, we got a few more minutes. I don't want to start quite yet until we're ready to go. But we can practice. We're going to warm up. So if you're here early and you're watching this, you get to hear us partake of our warm up. Okay, you guys want to do that song?
Don't be surprised if it sounds
like
very star, have purpose in your heart to do what's right and never question why. Never count the cost, though everything seems lost. The price for doing right is sometimes high. Do right till the stars fall. Do right till the last call. Do right when there's no one else to stand by you. Do right when you're all alone. Do right, though it's never you love the Lord, do right, do right. Right is always right, and wrong is always wrong. And we must learn to separate the two. If you love the right, the Lord will give you life. So seek the right in it. Everything you do, do right till the stars fall, do right till the last call, do right when there's no one else to stand.
said earlier, I am Pastor Nathan Richardson with Woodland Christian Church, and we have a good majority of my family. This is my oldest son, Liam.
Hi.
And then this is Elena.
Hello.
And this is Eliana.
How are you doing?
And this is Rayella.
Hi there.
And the youngest is asleep, and the two younger boys, I affectionately call Tweedledee and Tweedledum. I am not brave enough to bring them out yet, but they are a lot of fun. So we're going to have them down for tonight, but the rest of the kids are going to be participating with us this evening in tonight's devotional, doing some singing, and they're going to be doing some reading of some Bible verses. So with that, oh yes, so I was just reminded I got to give you their real names. So Tweedledee and Tweedledum is Declan and Andrew. They're ages 3 and 2. So you can imagine why we call them that. They are a dynamic duo. And the youngest baby boy's name is Jude. So thank you for reminding me of that. So what we're going to do now... Yes, Declan is 4 years old. So what did I say? He's 3 and 2? All right, so it should be 4 and 3. So we are going to sing a couple of songs, but first we're going to open up with a word of prayer, sing a couple of songs, and we'll get right into our lesson. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you do for us, and we thank you for the things that we are about to learn, that everything you've given us is to equip us to be able to live the life you've called us to, and we don't have to be afraid of the circumstances or the challenges that are in front of us, but we can have all the confidence in you because of what you've done for us through your son Jesus, but also have confidence in what you have given to us in your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to start off with a song everybody should know, and that is Jesus Loves Me. And then we're going to sing, if you have a hymn book from our church, number 493, or you can pull it up on the web, It Is Well With My Soul. We'll sing all four verses of that, It Is Well With My Soul. But let's go ahead and open up now with Jesus Loves Me. Ready? Here we go.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes,
got your hymn books? 493.
Well, guess what?
I broke
my mine.
Good for you. We should have those for hymn books, right?
493.
493, you got it? Okay, let's look at verse number one. 493, sweetheart. You have it? Did you lose your spot? We'll keep going, keep turning that way. And Mom can help you get to it. There we go.
492.
Or there.
493.
Take you a trip.
Wait a minute, we've said this one.
Not yet. Because they haven't heard it. You're talking about the rehearsal. Here we go, guys. Ready? Verse number one.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well
Peter in chapter 1.
Maybe your arm.
So remember, this is the part where you can talk when Daddy calls on you to talk, just like we do in Bible time, okay?
Daddy.
Yep.
It says 4:1.
You're in 2 Peter? Good. We're going to be in chapter 1.
Daddy?
Right there.
I have a question. Peter, do I have to read the other part of the verse?
I'll point it out to you when it's your time to read, okay?
Thank you.
It's okay.
All right. So Daddy's going to start off. Here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're just going to read the first 4 verses, okay? It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this guy, Peter. Well, first, you tell me, who's Peter?
A disciple of Christ,
okay.
A fisher of men.
Yeah, that's right. Jesus said he'd be a fisher of men. How did he identify himself at the beginning of this book? What did he call himself in verse 1?
A servant and apostle of Christ.
Okay. Now, if you were to think of Peter, would you consider him to be like a super spiritual person, like a spiritual giant as a Christian?
No.
You know what a spiritual giant is?
someone who's really good at spiritual and religious stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think he was a very important person in the church and in the Bible?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? How about you, Elena? What do you think of Peter? Was he somebody important in the church?
No, not really.
Okay. I'm going to have to talk to your Sunday school teacher then about this. He is an important person because he was a disciple of Jesus Christ, right?
Well, he's not way important.
Well, he probably wouldn't call himself very important. That's true. But he is somebody who God used to help start the church in the book of Acts. But he doesn't call himself that, does he? Look at verse number 1. He calls himself a servant and an apostle. What's an apostle?
A disciple that turns into a missionary.
Oh, very good. Like a missionary. So apostle, the word apostle means sent out. So like the Apostle Paul. So he's a servant, which means, is he in charge of people or is he ministering to people?
He's ministering to people.
Yep, he's ministering to people and he is going out and he's sent out, not of his own accord. He's not saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go out and do what I want to do and start churches anywhere I want. He's an apostle sent out by God to do what God has called him to do. And so he's giving this message, but something really cool about Peter in this particular letter he's giving is he's really at the end of his life. He really is. So Liam, in those verses I gave you, we're going to stay in the same chapter, but now we're going to go to verse number 12. Can you read verses 12 through 15 for us?
Okay. Wherefore I will not be negligent. To put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Where, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance.
So wherever he's at right now, and likely he was in jail and he's about to be killed for his faith, but he thinks it's really important that the things he shared at the beginning of this chapter, he's reminding his readers, reminding us, that it's really important that we remember these things, and he doesn't want us to forget, and he thinks it's important that he share these things even before he dies. How do we know he's going to die? Look at the words he uses. He says in verse number 13, he says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. Why would he use the term tabernacle? What's another word for tabernacle, do you think?
Well, during the Exodus times, the Jews returning from Egypt to the Promised Land made a little sort of like a church or a temple that could be packed up and moved to another destination.
Ooh, so it wasn't made with brick and it wasn't made with like iron or solid walls. Would you say that a tabernacle is like maybe a tent?
Yes, pretty much.
Like a giant tent. So when you think of Peter talking about his body as a tabernacle or a tent, what do you think he's thinking that he's going to live forever here?
No.
You guys remember when we went to church camp?
Yeah.
You remember who showed up and helped set up camp for us?
Yeah.
Papa.
Yeah, he equipped us with everything that we need, right?
Yeah.
He brought us the tents and we had all kinds of stuff. Now, did you guys have fun at church camp?
Yeah.
Okay, well, when we said, okay, we had a lot of fun, but it's time to pack up and go home, were you excited about that?
No, I know.
No, you want to stay there forever?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I loved it, but I'll tell you what, me and Mama were eager to get back home and get into our comfy beds. We had a lot of fun time, but we wanted to get back home. And I think that's what Peter's talking about here, too, is he's not talking about living forever here. He's talking about living for a short time here because he says he's going to pack up his tabernacle. He's going to pack up his tent and he's going to be going home. Look at verse number 14. He says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. And so he's saying, I know I don't have much time, so I'm going to share this with you so you don't forget. This is really important. Now, I wanted to look at this passage of scripture because I think it's really important with this virus that's going around. There are a lot of people that are really nervous, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are scared, and they're scared for good reasons. They're scared for their health. They're scared for their work. Some of them are not able to go to work because of this virus, and so they're really nervous about what's going to happen to them. And Peter reminds us that the life that we're living is only temporary. But he does show us in verse number 3, look back at our passage, that he has given us, God has given us everything that we need to live. He's given us, in verse 3 it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know what that kind of reminds me of? Reminds me of the books we used to read or listen to. Remember that, Prince Warriors?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You remember the character of Ruach? What would he say to the Prince Warriors? Yeah, you have everything you need. Every time these Prince Warriors were about to go out on another adventure, they were always nervous, always scared. What if, you know, what if we run into more bad people? Or what if it's too hard? And Ruach would always tell them, you're right, good job. You have everything you need. Well, look at verse 3 again, guys. Now, you read it quietly. I'll read it out loud. You tell me if I miss a word. According as his divine power hath given unto us most things that pertain... What?
All things.
So you're saying that we're not missing anything from God in order for us to have life and godliness?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So he has equipped us with everything that we need. So, here's something to consider too. With Peter, when he wrote his first epistle called 1 Peter, he addressed the people of the church. He called them strangers that were scattered. And he also called them again in chapter 2 and verse 11, he called them strangers and pilgrims. And if he's talking to them like that, and then he refers the end of his life like he's packing up his tent, what do you think that teaches us about how we should view our life?
Well, it's just like a tabernacle.
Mm-hmm. Is our life here forever?
Nope.
No. We're
going to be in heaven.
Yeah, in heaven. Forever. In heaven is where forever is going to be. That's right. But until we get there, God knows that we need help living the life he has given us here until we pack up our tents and go to heaven. And so Peter is saying here in verse number 3 that he has given us everything. Now look at verse number 3 again. According as his what? Divine what?
Power.
Divine power. That's pretty cool. But what does his divine power do for us? He gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through what?
All things.
Jesus Christ our Lord.
Close. Let's look at the verse. It says through the what?
The
look at verse number 3.
Knowledge of him.
Knowledge of him. So the more that we learn about God, the more confident we can feel that he's taking care of us. The more confident we can feel that he is giving us everything that we need in order to live a life that is godly. We don't have to worry about missing something. Where can we go to learn more about God?
Right here.
In
the Bible.
Right, being in the Bible. That's where we're going to find our answers. So for some people who are always looking at their phones or watching the TV, trying to find out how their life should be lived according to the news that comes through when the president says this or the governor says this or the news broadcast says this, what are we supposed to be looking to as Christians to know how to live?
The Bible.
Mm-hmm. Did God give us everything we need in the news?
No.
No, God gave us everything we need in this book. Now check this out. He says in verse 3, he does this according to his divine power. All of this through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. That's a pretty awesome future, don't you think?
Yeah.
God's calling us to something pretty special. But look at verse number 4. Ellie, can you help me read these words? Look at verse number 4.
Knowledge of
The ones that are, yep, those are them. So I'll read it, and when I pause, you can pick up, okay? Whereby are given unto us, what's that word?
Exceeding great and precious promises that.
You want to keep reading? I'll let you keep reading.
Until I can read.
Oh, okay. You're holding off right there? So, what does it mean by exceeding great and precious promises? What does exceeding great mean?
Exceeding means a lot.
So what does that look like? What do you think?
Like a lot of gold and treasure and all that.
Mm. Okay.
Like a large amount.
Yeah. What's your favorite cereal, Rayella?
I could mention it for her.
What's your favorite cereal? We'll let her mention it.
Oatmeal.
You like oatmeal? Do you like milk with your oatmeal? Some people do.
Yes,
really.
Even I like pancake too.
What? Not a cereal.
It is a breakfast meal.
Ooh, let's pick a cereal. You guys, what do you like, Ellie?
What I like is the cereal.
Which kind? Honey Nut, regular, multigrain.
Honey Nut.
Okay, so if I poured you a bowl of cereal, and then what's got to go with the cereal?
Milk. Sometimes yogurt.
But milk. And if I poured milk into your bowl and kept pouring, and all of a sudden the milk overflowed the bowl and the Cheerios were spilling out over the bowl, what would you say to me?
Is a mess.
Yes, you would say that is a mess. Why? Because I gave you exceeding milk in your bowl. I gave you more milk than your bowl could handle. Now, what Peter's saying here is the kind of promises God gives us, they're not just great promises. They are exceeding great promises. Meaning that what God has given us, as best as we can imagine how God could bless us, He will always blow our minds away by how He takes care of us, by how He cares for us and loves us. And Peter says, you're going to live this way, not because you're super smart, not because you made a lot of money, not because you saved up a bunch of stuff. He's saying, if you trust His word, His promises are exceeding great. And that is how you're going to be successful, to have a life that is a godly life. And he also says that they're precious promises, which means they become more valuable. Have you ever, well, you guys aren't old enough to do this, but I was with I traveled with Pastor Scott to go to a conference down in California. Yeah. And I had to sleep on a bed I was not familiar with, not real comfortable with. And it took a little while to get used to it, but I can tell you something for sure. When I got back home, I was super excited about sleeping in my own bed, sleeping with my own pillow. It became more precious to me because I did not appreciate how wonderful it felt to be in my own bed until I had to be somewhere else. And the same thing with God's promises. I will never appreciate those promises until I really need those promises. When I'm really scared, or when I'm really alone, when I'm sad, when I'm really struggling with sin, or when I'm really not certain about my future, when I'm sick or I don't know how things are going to turn out, that's when those promises become so much more precious to me. And that's what Peter is saying. Is this is how you live a life in light of all the horrible things that are going on. Now remember, this is a letter written from a guy who's about to die. And he gave this kind of message to other people saying, hey, before I go, I want to make sure you're as confident as I am in how you ought to live your life. So he says in verse number 4, the exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Wait a minute, where did we say that word divine before?
In verse 3.
Verse 3, we see divine what?
Divine power.
Divine power, but now he's talking about divine nature. What's the difference between the two, do you think?
Well, power is out of the ordinary, well, nature is... It, like, really is the ordinary.
No, okay. I can see that. Power is the idea of being able to do something, right?
Really cool.
Really cool. And is anybody more powerful than God?
No.
No.
I can go up the ground, but it doesn't mean God could do anything that is even better than, not even better than me.
Right.
He can do really good stuff.
He can do really good stuff. And it's that kind of good stuff. Yes, sweetheart? Yep, I'm working on it. We're going to get to your verse. But he says here the divine power is what God uses or does to give us these promises, to give us a divine nature, because he says that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature. So God's not wanting us to have all of his powers and strength and snapping our fingers, doing whatever we want to live a life. He wants us to have a divine nature. That's like your attitude. That's like your mindset. So all of these promises that God gives us is not so our life is easy. It's not so that circumstances are easy for us to live in. It's so that we are like Jesus in those difficult circumstances. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because what did Jesus do when he was being beaten and when he was being spat upon and they're ripping his beard out? Did he get mad at them?
No.
No.
He was just letting them do it.
Yep. But what do you and I do when somebody does something against us? What do we typically do?
We just fight against.
We do, because it's our nature.
Loyal.
Yep, it's in our nature to do that.
But what God wanted to, what us to do is ask them to stop.
Mm-hmm. We need to be polite and kind to other people. So if somebody does something to us, we need God's help. Or things happen to us. We get a flat tire. Our DVDs aren't working right. We're having a hard time in math and school, right? Or we're not able to make PBJs, or the vacuum's broken. We're trying to do our chores. When things don't go our way, we need to depend upon God to help us in order to be like Jesus. And that is that divine nature. That is acting like Jesus, even when everything outside of us is trying to, where we can't respond in a negative way to those things. But we can respond like Jesus, because what did he say when he's being nailed to the cross? He said, Father, what did he say? Father, get him back. Is that what Jesus said?
No.
What did he say?
Father, let them kill me.
That's right. Elena, what did he say?
Forgive them.
He said, Father, forgive them. So he was still thinking about other people when he was going through a lot of hard times. You know, it's difficult for us and for a lot of people right now is they're going through really difficult times right now. And if they're going through these difficult times right now, sometimes it's really hard to think about other people when they're just thinking about themselves. Oh, there's no more food left on the shelf. I better grab that for me. Or I better save this up and I hope nobody comes and asks me for anything because I got to make sure I'm taken care of. But is that how Jesus would respond?
No,
he wouldn't respond like that. So I want to just bring that to your attention, you guys, of what God has called us to do. This is really important that we understand that tough times are going to come. And we could be like Peter, and we could be near the end of our life. Do you think Peter was afraid? Do you think Peter was scared?
No.
Not enough to walk away from Jesus. He wanted to be faithful. And he was so convinced about these promises that it wasn't just enough for him to embrace them for himself. He wanted to share it with somebody else. Do you know what God wants us to do when we learn more about him and we embrace his promises? Does he want us to keep these promises to ourselves?
He wants us to share it.
He does. He wants us to share it. So here's something that'll help our perspective. Elena, you got your passage in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. So when we see a lot of hard things happening on here on earth, like the struggles that people are going through with this disease, or people struggles with their health, or scared for their health, or scared for their jobs, they're scared for a lot of things that are here. But where should our perspective be as Christians? Where should we be looking? Should we be looking just down here?
No, we should be looking up.
Looking up. Very good. You got it from there? Read those four verses for us. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ
sitteth
on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not things on earth. for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Pretty cool, huh? He says our life is hid with Christ. So you think about people who don't have Christ, people that are not saved, they're not Christians. They're looking for anything they can get their hands on to keep them alive here and now. But what do you and I have a promise of if we have Jesus in our lives, if we're Christians?
We pray for him to give us wisdom.
Okay, we do pray for him to give us wisdom. But if we're Christians, is our life ultimately going to be found in getting that last can of chili or getting in that last bottle of water?
No.
Where is our life ultimately found?
Up above.
Up above in Christ. And do you think he will ever, ever, ever kick us out of heaven?
No.
Do you think we'll ever be kicked out of his family?
No.
Okay, so what's the worst that can happen to us as Christians? What if we do starve? Or what if we do get sick and we do die? What ends up happening?
We go to heaven.
We die. And then where? Where do we go?
We're in heaven.
We're in heaven. As a matter of fact, what Elena read for us is that we're already dead. And our life is hid with Christ in God. It's hidden, meaning nobody else can take it away, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
remember?
Like, I'm trying to get in your heart, but I can't. How am I going to get in your heart?
Right, he can't get you, can't touch you. Do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10 when he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life," and he says that no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Remember that verse? Jesus talked about that. And then he says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So you have Jesus and you have God holding your life if you're a Christian. What do you have to be scared of?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now, does that mean life's going to be easy?
No.
But
I have really hard days. Sometimes it's even harder to be a Christian than a non-Christian.
You know, sometimes it can be because we're supposed to be different, aren't we? To be behaving different. But that's what's important is when we get up in the day, we know we're probably going to have a hard day. People, we need to get into the Word of God. We need to see what God's Word has for us because we need to remember, no matter what happens, I'm going to heaven. No matter what happens, it doesn't change that God has my life hid with him. So I can trust in that to keep me safe. It's kind of like if you had a bad day cleaning up the toys in the toy room and maybe you spilt your cereal on your lap and you had to change your outfit and you can't find your other sock and the day is just getting worse and worse and worse. But you remember that mom and dad said, "We're going to Grams and Grams." Whoa, isn't that incentive right there?
Yeah,
we'll look for that other sock. We'll clean up the spilt milk. We'll do our best of getting our homework done. Why? Because where are we going?
Grams
and Gramps. We're going to go to their place. Or we're going to go to Nana and Papa's. We're going to go run around and get on the trampoline and go in the swimming pool. So there's something you're looking forward to, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. That's why God gave us his word. Did you know that he wrote this for us long before the news was coming out about this virus?
Yeah.
Did you know that? He wrote this for us. You didn't know that? This is pretty old.
It was written before we were made, centuries before.
Yep, and it still applies to us. Let me read you this verse of scripture. And then, actually, Rayla, can you read this one for me? Can you look at verse number 12? 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll go all the way to verse number 12. Mm-hmm. Now you got to follow your finger all the way over here to verse number 12.
Okay. Are we arguing to the fork? No, left.
All right, come over here, sweetheart. You read off my Bible. Yours is pretty small. Come over here.
Because my words are really...
They are really small. I'm having a hard time.
Michael, stop it.
Crossing my eyes trying to read the Bible. You read this one with me? So I'll read, and then when I stop, you can start reading, okay? Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Kind of interesting because we tend to forget, don't we?
Yeah.
We tend to forget a lot. Though ye know them. So Peter's saying, even though you know this stuff, I got to remind you again. Kind of like, did you wash your hands? Did you make your bed? You know you're supposed to do this, but you need to be reminded of it. So he says this, though ye know them and be established. Can you read that starting right there?
In the present truth.
Very good. In the present truth. Now, we'll close with this thought, okay? He says to the people, this was hundreds of years ago, he's writing this at the end of his life. And God preserved his word for us. Sit down, sweetheart. Thank you. He preserved this word for us. And as Peter is writing this out and these people are reading it for the first time, you and I are reading it again centuries later. He says, and be established in the present truth. Did you know that this does not change? Does God break promises?
No.
He doesn't break promises. And Peter described these promises as exceeding great and precious. Right? And so because they are exceeding great and precious, Peter also says, he calls it that we can be established in the present truth. And you know what that means for you and me today? In 2020, it's still the present truth. Nothing has changed. The promises of God are still great. They're still precious. Jesus Christ is still where? That you just read. Where is Jesus?
He's in heaven.
He's still in heaven. That means the tomb is still empty. That means he is still victorious over death. If he is victorious over death, do you think he's stronger than the virus?
Yeah.
Do you think he's stronger than our fears about maybe some people, you know, losing their job or getting sick? Is he stronger than those things?
Yeah.
He certainly is, and he wants us to be put into remembrance always that these promises are still real for us, no matter what happens. Okay? All right, you guys, thank you for chiming in. Go ahead and close your Bibles. We're going to hand out some prayer requests. There are a lot of things that need prayer for. And so before we close, I'm going to hand some out, okay? So who wants to pray for, we wrote down just a handful here. Who wants to pray for our nurses and doctors?
Me.
You want to pray for them? And in particular, can you remember Miss Stacy? And pray for Sterling, okay? Those are two of our nurses who are working a lot. And pray for their coworkers too. Can you remember Sterling and Stacy? Even if I help you? Okay, so pray for them, and then we pray for Richard Pender, who was in the hospital. Who wants to pray for Richard? We pray for him. Just pray and ask God to help him get better. Who wants to pray for Arden Russell? Make sure that he's safe. Because remember, he's still getting treatment with cancer, and we can't. It's not good if he gets the virus, so we're going to pray that he stays protected.
We can pray for him a long time.
Yep, and we'll just keep on praying for him.
And then, Arden has all those hair
knots. Sometimes that's part of the medicine to help fight the cancer. It makes his hair fall out. But I don't know. He might have his hair grown back now. We'll have to get a picture from Aunt Beth.
With the medicine, you can turn bald one day and on and off.
You can grow it back. All right, let's pray for... pray for a little boy's name is Sawyer.
Well,
you gonna remember too? You wanna pray for Elena? Can you pray for Sawyer?
Sure.
Little boy who's sick. He's in the hospital right now. Just pray that that will help him feel better. And then I'll pray for Miss Lover, and she's the lady who had the surgery and had part of her leg removed, her right leg, and so she's in the hospital recovering. So we'll pray for her too. Okay. Riella, do you want to start off?
Sure.
All right. Pray for Sterling and pray for Stacy.
Dear Jesus, please help me for Mr. Sterling and Mrs. Stacy to feel better.
Good job. All right, Liam, I'm going to go ahead. You're praying for Richard Penders in the hospital.
To the Lord, I pray that you would heal Richard Penders, if it's your will. And thank you for this grand opportunity to spread the gospel to other people on this broadcast day sermon. And Jesus and pray, man. Mm-hmm.
Sally, you want to go ahead and pray?
Okay,
my name and yours.
I want one with the bigger name.
Sawyer.
Dear Jesus, pray that Sawyer will feel better. Pray that he'll be calm after surgery. Just pray that the COVID-19 will start being destroyed. And I pray that we'll be able to sit tomorrow. Thank you for your name. May you be done with school. Thank you for sharing your wisdom from your word and the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Jesus, I thank you for this day. Rain outside, help Art and Russell to get better. I also pray that Wayne and Wayne get done without having to play and delay from their school. I pray that if we are doing school, that we would get done with it and not play and watch TV while the boys are doing potty training. Have the boys to have a good night's rest and obey tomorrow morning. In Jesus' precious name.
Father, we do thank you so much for your word. And your word and your promises really do become more precious to us as the longer we live and the more trying our life can become. And with so much uncertainty and so much that's in the air, it's so easy to have our eyes glued to the next posting on social media or what the news brings out or what the task force says. But I pray that we as believers would have our faiths deepened through this, our confidence strengthened, not just for our own stability and our own sake, but for our own lives to be anchored to the changeless promises of your word, so that we can help other people who maybe they're not as settled in their faith, or maybe they don't have a faith in you at all. And I pray that you would allow us to reach out to them and to be able to connect with them and show them that there is confidence to be had by placing their faith in Jesus Christ. Not just the strength and grace to weather the storms and difficulties here this side of heaven, but to have hope in eternity. And I pray that you would give us opportunity not to board up the doors and just hunker down tight until things change, but I pray that you'd help us to be more extravagant in our witness, and that we would have such a desperation to see other people come to Christ in this situation. Please let your promises flourish in our hearts long after this devotion is over. I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to work your word into the hearts of every listener and to be challenged, convicted, and comforted for the amazing promises, the exceeding great and precious promises that you've given us that make it possible for us to be able to live for you in a lost and dying world. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for joining us. And God bless you. We will see you guys. Please stay tuned for next Sunday. We'll be streaming the 11 o'clock service as well. God bless.